Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, February 9th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 36. I'm going to unpack paragraph 1 in the chapter more about alcoholism. And that paragraph begins with, I might have said chapter. The paragraph begins with, yet he got drunk again, and ends with, decided to have another glass of milk. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Naomi B. The 12 traditions, Audrey M.P. Reading the text today in support is Mary G., Shelley E., Kara L. Listen for Janice P.M. to greet newcomers after the recording is stopped and get some sponsor contact information, and then Robin P. to give you some announcements so that you can be invited and join us for the rest of the things we do at A Vision for You. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be for Monday, February 8th, 2021, 16359, 16,359. And then this morning, we already had a meeting going over this paragraph at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. That would be for Tuesday, February 9th. That would be 16366, 16,366. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence, and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Naomi B. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, family. This is OA. This is the A Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater outside Philadelphia. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. from Pennsylvania. I will now ask Audrey M. P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Team Tuesday. This is Audrey M.P. from Southern California. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirements for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Audrey MP from California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet, clear, crisp, clean recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Be aware that this would be the star 1 key function only, please, on your phone. That helps make sure that there aren't any accidental technological problems and interferences. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, deep into it, and we're on page 36. Going to unpack paragraph 1 today. Yet he got drunk again, is what it begins with, and ends with decided to have another glass of milk. And I'd like to ask Mary G. to please read that paragraph, unpack it for us with her experience, strength, and hope before we open it up to additional comments on the paragraph. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Mary G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Mesa, Arizona. Grateful to be here. Yet he got drunk again. We asked him to tell us exactly how it happened. This is his story. I came to work on Tuesday morning. I remember I felt irritated that I had to be a salesman for a concern I once owned. I had a few words with the boss, but nothing serious. Then I decided to drive into the country and see one of my prospects for a car. On the way, I felt hungry, so I stopped at a roadside place where they have a bar. I had no intention of drinking. I just thought I would get a sandwich. I also had the notion that I might find a customer for this car at this place, which was familiar, for I had been going to it for years. I had eaten there many times during the months I was sober. I sat down at a table and ordered a sandwich and a glass of milk. Still no thought of drinking. I ordered another sandwich and decided to have another glass of milk. Wow, what a great paragraph. So he got drunk again. So if you look in the previous paragraph, this gentleman had, you know, slipped like a half a dozen times, and here he is drunk again. And so they're asking him exactly how did it happen. And so he goes, okay, I went to work on Tuesday morning. It's an interesting detail, I think, that Tuesday is mentioned. Does that mean he missed Monday? If he had been the owner before, that might have been something that he did regularly. The next line, I felt irritated that I had to be a salesman for a concern I once owned. You know, I don't know about you all, but I would have been pissed that I was a salesman for a concern that I once owned. And here we get again. I had a few words with the boss, but nothing serious. You know, when I'm pissed, believe me, my few words is not lack. It does not lack seriousness. You know, maybe in my mind, because I always tend to diminish what I do wrong, but I could imagine that the boss was probably not happy with this gentleman. So then he decides to drive to the country and see a prospect for the car. And on the way, he feels hungry. Okay, so he's angry, and now he's hungry. And he's going to go to a place where they have a bar. But he has no intention of drinking. He just wants to get a sandwich. And he's been there before. You know, this is the rationalization that I would use. I've been there many times. I've done this when I'm sober. But the problem with Jim is that he was not in fit spiritual condition. And they tell us that he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And so he had no defense against those crazy twists of the mind that when I get irritated, when I get pissed, when I've had words with somebody, you know, I haven't made amends. He doesn't say that he apologized for his anger. You know, he's just going off and he's hungry. So now he's stopping and eating. Well, you know, for me, I was a rager. And, you know, those feelings of rage would just churn in me. And so I'm eating in order to calm that feeling. Well, I'm sure that just a sandwich and a glass of milk did not calm it enough. And if he was like me, he inhaled them rather than just, you know, sitting there and actually letting himself, you know, eat slowly. So then he thought, well, I'll just order, you know, I'll order another glass of milk and another sandwich. You know, nothing is alarming him. Nothing is going off in his head. And this, to me, is just the exact picture of myself before I worked the steps and got recovered. I didn't know what to do with my emotions. I didn't know how to handle that churning, that just turmoil that I would be in. And so I would go, you know, maybe to a fast food place, and I'd think, well, I'm just going to have a salad. They've got salads there, right? And I would end up, you know, having the hamburgers, the French fries, you know, maybe a milkshake. And I think, how did I do that? I wasn't going there for that purpose. You know, but that twist of the mind, I definitely have. Thank you, Melanie. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Mary G., for getting us going this morning. Now it's time for others to comment on paragraph 1, page 36 of the big book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. If you're interested in doing that, I'd take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and maybe your state as well, if you don't mind. And although we do value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too with this particular paragraph. So if you share it on Friday or Monday, tomorrow would be your day to start sharing again, and that would be Wednesday. I'm ready to take your name.
Kathy, Vancouver.
Dana P.
I only heard Dana, but you know what? I heard two or three people before then, so I'm going to put Dana P. as third, and then I need to get those two before.
Greg K.
Greg K. And then
Claire B.
The last woman. Claire B. Okay.
Marianne from NOLA.
Marianne, is that what I heard?
Yeah, from NOLA.
Okay.
Robin P.
Robin P. Did I get everybody this morning that wanted to speak so far?
Michelle N.
Michelle N. Let's take that as my lineup for that right now, if you don't mind, please. And we'll go with Greg K., Claire B., Dana P., Marianne S., Robin P., and Michelle N. Hi, Greg. You're up first for three.
Hello, hello. Thank you. Just pretty powerful message in there for me today. often would drive out to visit my mom, feeling some kind of obligation as the one of three sons closest to her, able to visit her, and would drive out there in a state of unfit spiritual condition, not having called higher power in, not having made a 10-step call to check in with somebody, that I'm getting into a situation that can bring up a lot of past trauma and pain, fear and resentment. And more than once, I've gotten drunk on food, had a relapse after leaving her house. I'll just stop, you know, at the convenience store for three of these, four of those, and then I'll stop at the fast food restaurant because, you know, those sugary things weren't enough. I need some salty, floury things. And go downhill from there. And it just has me thinking at the moment how important it is to work the steps on a daily basis. And in that situation, doing a, you know, having had an opportunity to free myself from resentments that I might be carrying, and to be able to make an in-the-moment phone call, to be honest, vulnerable, to surrender any control that I might feel I have over the situation, feeling like I should be strong enough, mature enough, old enough, wise enough to be able to handle my mom. I once heard a funny saying in a meditation retreat that when you feel you're, you know, you really got it, go spend some time with your family and then see. So that really rings a bell with me. Family is difficult, and I'm just going to leave it with that. It's really important that I'm in fit spiritual condition, not just for my family, but so that I can allow my life to unfold in the direction of the light of the spirit. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg K. from Massachusetts. Next up is Claire B. from British Columbia, and then Dana P. will follow her. Hi, Claire. 3 minutes you got.
Hello, this is Claire B. from Vancouver, compulsive overeater. I've been working this program for a year, and I've been abstinent for about a lot of that, but there have been resets. This section really speaks to me in terms of a newcomer and just struggling with the understanding of how to reach out when the moment of irritation actually happens. Even just reading this paragraph this morning, I was like, why did he put the whiskey, you know, why? I mean, I know it's the next paragraph, sorry, but how did he get drunk again? And then it's there, clear as day. I remember I felt irritated. And this is the hardest thing for me in my practice, is being able to like see the feeling and sit with the feeling, not obsessed with the story, but to also reach out to people who are more experienced than me to help me get through that. Because usually hours later, I find I'm eating or picking something up. So if there's any other newcomers out there who are struggling, this is it. Those moments of being tangled, that is the moment to reach out, in my experience. Thanks for letting me share on a path.
Thank you very much, Clara B. from BC. Dana P. from California, you're up next for 3, and then Marianne will follow you.
Good morning. Good morning, Melanie. Dana P. Good morning, my fellows. I'm here in California. This paragraph, wow. Of course he drank. Of course he drank. He's an alcoholic. And what came to me as I listened to the first speaker sharing about how, you know, the steps leading up to the drink. As I read that story originally, I was on pins and needles, and not on pins and needles because I was anticipating you know, what was going to come. I already knew what was going to come because he was just like me. Jim's just like me. And I thought I had control of it. I mean, my life and my situation prior to going back into compulsive eating and bulimia the last time, so far by the grace of God. Multiple stressful situations going in my life for multiple years. And what led up to it was I started consuming vast quantities of watermelon. You know, what is a one single woman doing going to the store and buying a 40-pound watermelon? Well, maybe not so much, but it was near that size. I could hardly carry it. And continuing to eat that watermelon. That went on for about a week, and I went and got another watermelon. That day, I ate half of it, and it was huge. And I continued to eat it until I could hardly stand it anymore. And I remember thinking that thought came to me. I'll just take off a little pressure. Just take off a little pressure. And before I knew it, I found myself in the bathroom. And it was what I thought was the pressure of my life and my experience, and that it would give me relief. Well, that threw me right back into another 3 years of compulsively eating and bulimia, which took me down. And I'm so grateful for that knowing, that remembering that moment, which I will never forget. I will never forget that moment. And the thought that ran through my mind, I'll just take off a little pressure. And the truth be told, what the problem was with Jim was not all those events leading up to it, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And that's ultimately what this book is all about, what this program is all about, and what my recovered life is all about, day by day, enlarging my spiritual life. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Dana P. from California. Marianne S. from Louisiana, you're next, and then Robin will follow you.
Good morning, everybody. So, yeah, this paragraph, as the words were being read and as I was following along in my book, all I could think of was my life before OA, and just replace this story with gas stations. Gas stations were my nemesis. On my trip to work, I went past so many gas stations, and no matter what my resolve was when I got up in the morning, and my resolve was always going to be that today I'm going to start. And every day I stopped at those gas stations and got my comfort food and went to work and had it all ate by, 10 o'clock in the morning. Spent many, many dollars doing that. So that's where I was. When I came back into program, I came back in July, and when I came back, I really thought the solution was to just drive in the left-hand lane. And then it would be work to get over to the right-hand lane to pull over to a gas station. I hadn't had my spiritual awakening yet. And that worked. It was just a little trick, but it helped. It definitely helped. But the compulsion was still there at the beginning. But since I've been really working the program, and I'm reaching out, I'm sponsoring, I'm doing what the book instructs me to do, and it's working. I am in a spiritual awakening. I know I am. I am here by the grace of God, and I just wanted to, reiterate that it works if you work it. That has been my solution. And my solution is not pulling over at a gas station anymore. My solution is not even seeing a gas station on my horizon. not even in the side view. I just have the compulsion is gone, and that's a miracle. And I just wanted to share that with you guys this morning. So thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Next up is Robin P., but just be aware that in just about 6 more minutes, we're going to open it up for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 36 in your big book. You'll find us in a chapter more about alcoholism. And that paragraph, just so that you're sure, begins with, yet he got drunk again, and ends with, decided to have another glass of milk. But in the meantime, for the next 6, we'll listen to Robin P. and then Michelle N. You're up.
Thanks so much, Mel. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. And yet he got drunk again. You know, oh my goodness, I think of the word rationalize and rationalize. Like, it seems like rational, but it's lies. And when I've rationalized, it's always led me into problems. And, you know, it just seems like it, you know, oh, yeah, I can do this. And the other part that jumped out to me this time was, I remember I felt irritated that I had to be a salesman for concern I once owned. And then I had a few words with the boss, but nothing serious. You know, just in my life when I've been in denial, I'm like, oh, nothing serious. Everything that I go through when I have a process of healing and I have a program of recovery and it's my step. And when I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, I have a solution today. And it sounds to me like he had a resentment and he had some words and that would have been maybe he owed amends. Like he had a, you know, there. It's just amazing that we have a solution today. So no matter what happens, as long as I'm willing, I'm honest, open, and willing, and I'm not living in rational life. And, you know, I spent so many years going, huh? How did that happen? Oh, my gosh. I was so determined on my own power that I was going to, you know, not pick up or not binge or not starve or not vomit or any of those things that I did to numb. And when I had a feeling come up, I literally had feelings come up. And so today, one day at a time for the past 5 years, I get to really live in God's power in all my affairs. God bless everybody. It was a very abstinent, blessed day. I'm so grateful I got to share. Thanks again for your service, Mel.
Thanks so much, Robin P. Next up, before we open it up for additional comments, is Michelle N. from Illinois.
Good morning. This is Michelle N. from Illinois, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic just for today by God's grace. Thank you, everybody, for your shares and for being here and for your service. I think this is a great paragraph. It just reminds me that I have a broken brain, that mental twist. There's a gap in my brain between my memories of my binges and how bad it was and current reality. And that's why I need to be here all the time to keep reminding myself. But I remember so many times, I do remember, you know, just telling myself I'm not going to do this and ending up doing the exact thing that I didn't want to do. So I have to, as a recovered person, I have to stay living in steps 10 through 12 to be, by God's grace, to be as fit as I can spiritually. I have to surrender my emotions to Him, situations in my life to God that I can't handle, I can't have my own way with, even though I think I'd like to sometimes. When I stop and do my 10 steps, I realize that I don't have it all together, but I just have to keep plugging away one day at a time. And if I don't, I can certainly get myself into a situation like Jim quite easily where I can say, oh, I got this. I've been here many times before. I've done this. Sorry for all the phone noise. I've done this many times before, and I've been fine. And for that reason as well, I recently gave up some other foods that I have had many times before, and I have been fine, but they were similar things to some of my addictive foods. And I heard in a workshop them being called gateway foods. And it just weighed on me when I heard that very much. I decided to give them up as an additional insurance against getting myself into such a situation where I think, well, this is okay, therefore that's okay. And pretty soon I find myself in the food again. So okay. I guess that's where I'm going to end because I don't have much more to say. But thank you for listening and thank you for allowing me to speak. Have a great day, everybody. I pass.
Thank you. That was Michelle N. from Illinois. And although we do really, really value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share. So if you shared on Monday or Friday, tomorrow is your day, Wednesday, to share again on the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. But in the meantime, if you'd like to share on paragraph 1, page 36 of the Big Book, I'll take your name, your first initial, the last name, and your state.
Janet
Donna
A.
W., California. Janet
Pamela
H.
Pamela R.B.
Marianne
who is from California?
Michigan.
Who is from California?
Donna W.
Heard somebody from Donna W.
Donna,
thank you. Donna W. And then I heard Pamela.
Marianne
I heard Chrissy Jane. And did is that Marianne? What did I hear? Marianne B. Okay, that's all
yes.
I can do, I think. I know that I missed a few of you. So I got Janet H. Donna W., Pamela R., Chrissy Jane, and Mary Ann B. So let's start with Janet, and then we'll get the rest.
Is Ann B. or Marianne?
Hi.
I'm sorry?
Ann B. or Mary Ann B.?
I heard Mary Ann B. Okay, Janet, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. This paragraph is a very good reason why to stay in the steps, why it's not just one and done. You know, so the guy, he was blocked. He felt irritated. And we've learned that, you know, irritations, they can block us from the sunlight of the spirit. He had a few words with the boss. And, you know, I could say, you know, say as a backseat driver here, you know, perhaps if he was working step 10 and dealt with it when it cropped up immediately, you know, gave it to God and talked to somebody about it, it might not have gone that far. And the guy was, he was spiritually awake. He, you know, because it says in a previous page, he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. So that seems to me to say that he did have a spiritual life. But a spiritual life and spiritual experiences, they're slippery. Like I have to go after that every day. Like I had to go after the compulsive overeating every day. I have to go after my God every day to keep in fit spiritual condition and to stay unblocked, like deal with things that block my peace of mind and my clarity and my sanity as soon as they come up. You know, the other part of this said, you know, he had a glass. Oh, wait, here's a little whisper of the obsession. I had a notion I might find a customer for a car at this place. Now, who goes to a restaurant looking for a purchaser of a car? I mean, that might have been a red flag right there, you know, but he was, you know, he just did what he always did before he went there before successfully. Maybe he was spiritually fit then. I don't know. And here's the other thing. I ordered another sandwich. So what he had wasn't enough. You know, still trying to feel that, fill that, that hole, you know? And I get it. I mean, like, he worked for this guy. Yes, there's a justified resentment. And I had a justified resentment with my sister. And I did step four in her, and I forgave her, and all was well. You know, and guess what? Time passed, and it came up again. I mean, it was so deep-rooted. There was a lot of harm done. And so I had to do it again, you know, and when it crops up again. Just some things can be erased and gone and never haunt me again. That's happened. But some, you know, that particular sister, you know, that has come up time after time. And I just needed to forgive on a deeper level and, you know, get out of my own way and let God do some more healing. And so, you know, this is a very good example of why we got to keep in this work day after day. Because, you know, yep, I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks, Janet H. from New Jersey. Donna W. from California, you're up now.
Thank you so much, Mel. This is Donna W. calling in from California, Palo Alto. So grateful for my abstinence and my recovery for today. And, you know, I don't know Jim, and what I imagine is Jim's one of those guys that's like, hey, how's it going, Jim? Oh, fine, fine, good, good, you know. And even though he's lost his business and he's now reporting it to somebody else. And, you know, so, you know, I in the big book I underlined, you know, he has a nervous disposition. He's irritable, but probably in his head he's fine, fine. And probably in my head, that's what I do. Oh, I'm fine, I'm fine. And so what I see is that there's a lot of dishonesty there because he's not acknowledging what's really going on. And what I've learned in program that it's not just about putting down the food, but it's also about the emotional sobriety. And that Bill W., he does some writing about that, and he really needed that because he suffered from depression. So I really need to work on my emotional sobriety and do my 10 steps and connect with my higher power every morning and then throughout the day and be of service. You know, I really learned that, you know, I am very self-absorbed. I mean, like, you know, all the self-seeking, self-centered, self-reliant, self-pity. I mean, one of my biggest character defects is my self-pity. Poor me, poor me. And then, you know, in AA, they say, pour me another drink. I could say, pour me, you know, a bag of something. So that is a huge character defect for me. So I have got to be aware of that self-centeredness, that self-pity, be of service to others. I was having trouble sleeping last night and just doing some prayers for other people. Just, gosh, it calms me down so much. And then others were talking about, you know, all the places they go for their cravings. And my husband, who is not a compulsive eater at all, but every now and then he'll get the craving, like we're out and about and we go and get something for him. And it just helps me realize, like, I used to be the one, thankfully I was recovered before I got married. But I used to be driving around, oh, there's that place, there's this place, so I got to get my fix, you know. So I'm just like, just seeing him, you know, like twice a year, want that. It's like, wow, I don't do that anymore. I'm not driving around trying to get my fix. God, just think about how much time I would spend driving around. God, a lot of time. So now I get to spend that time in service. And I just want to turn over, like, I'm self-employed. My business is thriving. I'm so grateful. And I can only do that with humility. Like, success is only possible with humility. God is my employer. And, you know, I'm here to be of service. And so I just need to turn that over because I don't want to get all self-absorbed and self-centered and self-reliant all around that. I got to rely on my higher power for everything. Thanks for time to share. And I pass.
Thanks so much. Donna W. from California. Pamela R. B., you're up next. Would you like to give the state you're from?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate this. Wow. Thanks for your service, Melanie. I'm Pamela R. B. from Detroit, Michigan. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater one day at a time. Wow. You know, I always get what I need. So I was with my sponsor this morning on a phone call, and we're going through the AA 12 and 12 and doing step four. And there was a passage that we read in that step four that was, it just really hit me, you know, and it said something like, we learned that if we were seriously disturbed, our first need was to quiet that disturbance, regardless of who or what we thought caused it. And so Jim was unaware of the fact that he was disturbed. I mean, he slightly gave a little, you know, lip service to it, but he really wasn't aware. And so this morning in our working together, there was a deep awareness that disturbance for me or anger for me looks like passive aggressiveness. Oh my goodness. This is what I see in this story. Jim was passive aggressive. You know, as it was shared earlier, well, he didn't think much about it. He just moved on. This had to just tear him up inside. I believe it did, but he didn't have any other way to circumvent that other than say, okay, I'm fine. I'll deal with it. You know, all of this comments he made, you know, and even finding himself in a place where they sold alcohol. I mean, you know, to me, he was just inviting the disease to just kick the door wide open for him. But, you know, sometimes with this passive aggressiveness that I have, I can't see it. You know, it says in the big book, I can't differentiate the true from the false. It all looks the same to me, you know. I'm just grateful today to continue to stay in these rooms for over 15 years and still more is being revealed. As I share with my sponsor, dang, that was another layer that came off. Oh, my goodness, I never thought about it that way, you know. He said, I felt irritated that I had to be a salesman. Well, sometimes I can feel a little irritated, but this guy, you know, this is denial. This is minimizing. This is resentment. You know, this is inverted anger, you know, all dressed up, you know, going to put your best suit on and go out there and do it anyway. I could really relate to this, you know. So Jim, you know, just as it was shared, just needed to pause. And that's what keeps me in fit spiritual condition. When I start to feel that way, pause, ask for an intuitive thought, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Pamela R.B. from Michigan. Chrissy Jane, you're up next for 3 minutes, and then Marianne will follow you.
Hi, this is Chrissy Jane from Pittsburgh. I really liked what she had to say. Passive aggressive, that was beautiful. My thought about what Jim did is a paradox. The program, there's a story in the back of the book about, and I think it's in the section edition 3, about paradox, that the program is a paradox, and when we look, we're looking for answers in the food or alcohol, and there's no answers there. And our answers are in this program, and we're not thinking of it that way. And I see spirituality as a plant, and you have to plant the seed, and then the seed grows, and you have to nurture it every day, and you have to feed it, and you have to water it, and you have to give it some sunshine. And you don't, and if you don't do your, if you don't take care of your plant, and people that have plants know what you have to do for plants to keep them going. But that's why you need another person, is to teach you how to take care of this plant. This is a special plant. Anybody that's had tomatoes and they're green, and you can sit there and you can will that tomato to want the green tomato to turn red all you want. And you can say, turn red, I want to eat you. But that tomato will not turn red as much as you want to will it red. It's going to be green until it gets around to turning red. And if you ignore it and don't water it, it won't turn red. And that's where you need a sponsor to tell you, you've got to water your tomato. You've got to water your plants. You've got to put to take your plants out into the sun. We're going to have frost tonight. You've got to bring your plant in the house because it's going to die if you leave it out in the frost. Or you've got to cover it. And that's where your sponsor looks in. This is not a do-it-yourself program. This is not a self-help program. So if you don't have a sponsor, you're doing this like some kind of self-help group. And a lot of people run around like that for years, and they can't understand why it's not working. So they'll go out and they'll say, oh, I tried that. It didn't work. But you didn't try it because you didn't. It doesn't work by itself. It's a paradox. And you haven't planted seeds. And you didn't water it. And so you didn't do it. Fine. Okay, and I pass. Bye. Have a nice day.
Hey, Chrissy Jane, do you want to give the first initial of your last name?
K.
Chrissy Jane K. Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Appreciate your share. Okay, next up would be Mary Jane B. Did I say Mary Jane and I met Mary Ann?
Mary Ann.
Mary Ann. Rubbing in. Yeah, hi. You're up. Where are you from, Mary Ann?
I'm from Michigan, Rochester, Michigan.
Gotcha. Thanks. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Okay, thank you. I'm usually one to listen and sit back and not say anything. And I'm making my move forward because I want to be part of the fellowship. This Jim, such a great guy. I mean, he just sounds like you'd love him for a neighbor and feel so bad for him that this is going on in his life. Obviously, what we learned was when they told him about alcoholism, he made the beginning. He got it. He didn't deny. It's not like they're saying he's denying anything. And then he got drunk that half a dozen times. They worked with him and went through what was going on and why things happened. So he was getting the information he needed about how he needed to self-evaluate. And what I see in this paragraph, yet he got drunk again, and he knew he had so much to lose, his wife and his family. He'd go into an asylum. I mean, he was up against there's a big wall to keep him from drinking. And yet he got drunk again. And I can just see this in terms of eating. When he lost his business of his own accord through his drinking. And I can see the humility that this program teaches and the steps. I think I read like every step brings us to more humility. And in this case, having that humility, having stopped and done that 10-step work about, like, I felt irritated and seeing, well, what's my part in it? Oh, I lost the business. That guy didn't buy him out of hatred. Jim lost his business. So instead of bringing the humility, I think it's ego and pride that were running rampant in him, even in this nice guy. That's where the 10th step would have come in, and making a phone call if he needed. Also how, he got there in the morning to work. And he got a little irritated. I don't think you ever have words with your boss that aren't important, that we can dismiss. Anytime we have words with somebody who's in charge, I wouldn't take it my part lightly. It's pretty nervy. Then he decided to go for a drive in the country. And that reminded me of how often when I've been uncomfortable, I run. At least in my past history, something wasn't going my way, I was out of there. I would just leave, make an excuse and leave. And I'm wondering if that's what part of his reaction was. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary Ann B. from Michigan. And that would be the last share of the recorded hour of this meeting today, wrapping up this particular day of study. Thank you so much for all that shared and everybody that's of service today. I'd like to ask then, as we transition to the last 10 minutes of this meeting and stay with us for that, I'd like to ask Shelley E. to please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
they'll say the Serenity Prayer together if you'd like, and then we'll move quickly over to the last 10 minutes of the meeting. We're just about there, folks. Hi, Shelley. Thank you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until